Today, the church celebrates All Saints' Day, November the 1st, a significant day in the life of the church. And generally, All Saints' Day is a day when the church focuses on the body of Christ, the people of God, living or dead, who have been part or who are part of the body of Christ. We are generally familiar with the saints of biblical times, aren't we, from the reading of Scripture. But the church has also named saints from all over the world, and they include people of different nations, different races, and people who speak different languages. I find it quite difficult to get the exact criteria for sainthood, the exact definition. But saints are usually people who are faithful, who make sacrifices for others by what they do, and are willing to follow Christ, even risking their own lives in the process. So think for a moment of someone you might call a modern-day saint. Perhaps a family member. You probably have a saint in your family. If I were to decide on a saint in my family, it won't be me. I know that there's a Saint Leonard, but I must confess I'm not in that level as yet. I'm working towards it. But my choice would be my great uncle. My great uncle, we called him Dada as a sign of respect. Everyone in the family called him Dada. He was a devout Christian who sang on the choir of the local Moravian church. He was involved in the men's fellowship. And one time I engaged him in conversation. I said, "Dada, how is it that we're all Anglican and you're not, and you're Moravian?" He said, "Lenny boy, that's a long story, but I find that I'm more at home in the Moravian church." He was a humble fisherman by occupation. He sold his fish every day. In his context, you fished, you sold, you got your money. And he would put aside his collection, his offering, every Monday from the first catch of the week. One day after I came home from Sunday school, I said to Dada, "Dada, fishermen follow Jesus." He looked at me and said, "Good, you're reading the Bible." Now, I did not tell Dada that I had just heard it from my Sunday school teacher, but he was encouraging that I knew a little bit about the Bible. As I grew older, I realized that he was also the peacemaker of the family. My great uncle, Charles Brazier, a devout Christian, a faithful steward, and a peacemaker. We all have people in our lives who are our own saints, don't we? Those who would get the highest approval from us, I'm sure. They work faithfully and tirelessly in their own context, carrying out the responsibilities of servanthood in a diligent manner day after day. So what does it take to be a saint? We have one perspective about sainthood from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 that was read to us by Hazel. And this passage of Scripture suggests that saints are those who have been set apart by God for His purposes as children of God. Beloved, we are God's people now. We are God's children now, John writes. Right now, in this very moment, imperfect, unsure, even sometimes unlikable, right now, we are God's children. And that's quite some reassurance. But today I would like to emphasize the gospel reading, which is part of an important teaching session called the Sermon on the Mount. This passage of Scripture is often regarded as dissatisfaction with the values of the world, because it honors the meek, those who are hungry, and those who are disadvantaged in any way. Some theologians and biblical scholars have described this as a code of ethics for the disciples and a standard of behavior for all Christians. And here Jesus is clarifying his expectations of discipleship, and by extension, what is required of any one of us with a desire to follow Christ and to live like him. The Beatitudes tell us what it takes for sacred living, bearing in mind the context in which Jesus taught his disciples. We know from the previous chapter in Matthew 4, specifically verse 17, Jesus had announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. So people were questioning how they would qualify to be in God's kingdom. And Jesus was clear that God's kingdom was organized differently from worldly kingdoms because the values and attitudes are so different. So Jesus was encouraging his disciples to show humility instead of pride, to show compassion, meekness, and lowliness instead of craving for power and influence, to demonstrate justice and goodness in place of pursuing personal needs and desires, to show kindness, mercy, and consideration for others, to have pure hearts, and to be peacemakers by showing concern for all the chaos all around us in the world. And Jesus also encouraged his followers to be faithful. Now, having heard that list that formed part of the criteria of sainthood, do you still want to be a saint? Do you still aspire to sainthood? How close are you? How close am I to living up to the expectations that Jesus set out in the Beatitudes? Well, Jesus was quite encouraging to his followers and by us, and to us by extension. He said, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's from verse 12 of the reading. Jesus reminded them to be faithful and courageous, even during times of persecution. And his audience would be aware that some of the saints of the past had actually been persecuted. We know of examples of people like Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and we can go on and on from the Old Testament saints. It is believed that Jesus also wanted them, his disciples, to understand that they could potentially be mistreated because of their decision to follow Christ. So, my friends, can we practice meekness? Can we show mercy and become peacemakers? If so, we are probably heading in the right direction, aren't we? So, in summary, saints are people in different circumstances who show their love for Christ. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, they bring help to the needy, justice to the disadvantaged, and the reassurance of God's forgiveness to those who are sorry for their offenses. For Christ's sake, they serve the people in their time and are examples of God's people, and they are examples to God's people throughout the ages. So, my sisters and brothers in Christ, I share three closing thoughts with you for your consideration. Firstly, the Beatitudes encourage us to look at life through different lenses, through the lenses of fairness, through lenses of social relationships, and through lenses of accessible resources for all. Secondly, these disciplines taught by Jesus will help us to shape our own Christian identity and lifestyle as true disciples of Christ. And thirdly, the good news for me, and I hope for you, is that God is always faithful through our good times and bad. And we don't have to be perfect to allow God to use us to do His will. And to that I say, thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, soften our hearts to do your work of reconciliation with each other. And train our eyes to notice the saints that are all around us in places where we may not expect them to be. Amen.